This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with Joseph Umar, the executive director of the Center for Secure Free Society. We turn to headlines, upsetting and striking headlines in the Wall Street Journal in these last days about Venezuela. Venezuelan migrants fall prey to sex traffickers after fleeing their collapsing country. Subhead, I never thought something like this would happen to me, says one Venezuelan victim, after escaping a brothel in Colombia. This is a collective story with photographs. Dateline Quito, Ecuador. I note that it's not in Venezuela. On her first day at what she thought would be a job mopping floors, a Venezuelan migrant named Patricia, who at home had sold fish from a market stall, found herself trapped inside what turned out to be a brothel. Kept prisoner for 2 months, she received food during the day through a tiny window in her room. Joseph, is this well known? The Wall Street Journal is reporting it as a surprise. Was this always part of the flight from Venezuela? And is there attention to this in places like Colombia that have law and order?
John, no, this is not new in the sense that many people that are in Colombia, especially on the border between Colombia and Venezuela, this is very prominent and very well known. However, I got to commend the Wall Street Journal for giving this a great perspective in terms of having a human interest story and then connecting that to the broader problem of human trafficking and sex trafficking. Because I think most times when you think about human trafficking and sex trafficking, the perception, I think, of most people is of the humanitarian side of it. There's obviously a lot of victimizations of poor, usually often young women that are trafficked for sexual favors. However, it's also a national security issue. And the reason it's a national security issue is because these networks that are facilitating the trafficking of young women for human trafficking are converging with other types of illicit networks, including drug trafficking, including human smuggling, including arms trafficking. And so what you end up getting is just these massive illicit economies that are shaping the way these countries can deal with all these illicit activities. And so in this sense, Venezuela is very much a centerpiece for this kind of problem, because Venezuela, because of the nature of the government it has, the nature of the Maduro regime, it's using these type of normally economic crimes or other kind of humanitarian concerns. They're using them as weapons to be able to grow illicit economies in neighboring countries and then connect those illicit economies to their economies so that they can create more power in Venezuela and abroad. And so one of the things, John, that we focused on, actually presented about this at the Parliamentary Intelligence Security Forum that took place last month. And one of the things I talked about, aside from human trafficking, which is an economic crime, is how this has also become a big issue with human smuggling, which is more of a gateway crime. And what we've noticed, and this is something that we're going to be focused on quite a bit in 2022, is how Venezuelan state institutions are now involved in the smuggling of migrants from Venezuela to Mexico and across the U.S. southern border. In fact, we posted a video on our YouTube page, which you could find on Secure Free Society YouTube, where we document the five-step process of how certain Venezuelan agencies, namely the immigration agency SAIME and their state-owned airline Conviasa, are involved in the human smuggling of Venezuelan migrants across the southern border in conjunction with human smuggling facilitators from Mexico.
Joseph, because Venezuela is such an ongoing catastrophe, this follows from Venezuela. However, there are other states in Latin America where we know there is either anarchy, lawlessness, or dictators. Do we hear these same stories? Pick one, Nicaragua. Do we hear these same stories of sex trafficking out of Nicaragua, people seeking to escape and wind up under the control of the cartels?
We do. We've actually historically have heard most of the sex trafficking stories from Mexico. Everyone can remember the infamous cases that were made public and even made documentaries about them from Juarez, the city on the border of Mexico and Texas. Ciudad Juarez was one of the hubs for human trafficking worldwide for many years. I'm not sure if it continues to this day. But Nicaragua as well, we've heard it with Cuba. Pretty much whenever you have refugees or migrant flows, the sex trafficking ends up becoming one of the major industries because, as I mentioned, it's very lucrative for some of these illicit actors. I think the reason why the Venezuela issue may be even more concerning is just because of the density. There is no bigger migration than what's happening in Venezuela. I mean, we're talking about 6 million since 2014. Those are Syria-level numbers. And so there's no other situation in Latin America or in the Western Hemisphere that rivals that level of migration. And so when you have that level of displaced people that are basically very vulnerable and they're in other countries looking for work or looking for opportunities, they're vulnerable targets for these human trafficking networks that have exploited them. I think we're hearing a lot about it in Colombia, but you're hearing about it all over. Wherever there's a Venezuelan migrant population, you're hearing about this story, including here in the United States, in Florida, and other places.
We turn to another large story from 2021. Here, continuing 2022, which is what is called narconomics, narco terror gangs practicing openly their presentation to the population. This is surprising because it comes from The Economist reporting on an event in Chile. The event had all the trappings of a New Year celebration. Fireworks lit up the sky. Young men danced arm in arm. Only it was not an end-of-the-year party, but an evening in July of 2021. The fireworks were accompanied by rounds of gunshots. The revelers in Santiago, the capital of Chile, were mourning a young man with alleged ties to drug traffickers during what was supposed to be a national lockdown. Chile has long been considered one of Latin America's safest countries, yet between May 2019 and December 2020, criminal gangs held nearly 800 so-called narco funerales, according to the country's chief of national police. Joseph, Chile, is this well known that the narco gangs are operating openly in Santiago?
It is in Chile. And this is actually one of the things that the former presidential candidate Jose Antonio Kast, he emphasized on the campaign trail. Immigration and insecurity were big parts of his message. Unfortunately, he lost the election, and so we'll see if that problem continues or is going to get worse in 2022 here forward. But I think the big picture here, John, is this: Latin America is quickly becoming a very troubled region on a lot of different levels. Transnational organized crime is probably the number one national security issue for Latin American governments. That's probably their top priority when it comes to their own security priorities. And among that is the basically rise of all kinds of different gangs, from local gangs to transnational gangs, that are converging and basically cooperating to dominate the power structures inside their countries. And so what I liked about this article from The Economist, John, is how they talked about the innovation that a lot of these transnational criminal organizations are doing to be able to get past the pandemic. We obviously know that there's many industries, many companies, legitimate companies, that had to innovate to be able to deal with the pandemic in this new age. But as we learned, that the drug cartels, the gangs, they also have to innovate as well. And some of the things that they've done to innovate were the application of drones. The drone technology has become commercial. It's not just for militaries and governments. There's a very commercial ways to get drones, and it's very unregulated and very poorly monitored. And so you're having gangs and criminal organizations use drones as part of their trafficking maneuvers. Because the ports and the land routes were closed on a lot of these countries because of the pandemic, these gangs and cartels went to the water. They emphasized, or they relied more on yachts and submersive vessels, submarines, to be able to move their illicit products. And then it talked about something that I thought was very interesting, which is the use of subcontracting. And we're hearing about this a lot, particularly in Colombia, which they call micro trafficking, which is the ability to basically subcontract your supply chain of illicit product, whether it's weapons, drugs, or whatever. And you subcontract it to local gangs who know how to maneuver and transport it through small communities in much more efficient ways than if you're trying to do that from the top down. Say you're a Mexican cartel and you need to move something in Chile, it's much easier for you to subcontract a local Chilean gang that may know how to move that product much quicker and efficiently than you understanding that from Mexico City. So I think these are some of the things that gangs are innovating. And my last point, John, I just want to say that the Biden administration has now created a challenge for this because they're looking to revitalize, basically this was an Obama policy, of a new CTOC strategy, which is counter transnational organized crime. And my only recommendation, my recommendation to that would be to use more economists, because my experience looking at this issue for many years is that most of them rely on law enforcement, military intelligence, which are all necessary. But you have to understand that transnational organized crime is fundamentally an economic issue. So you need good economists that could understand the economic dimensions of this activity.
A puzzle, Joseph. And the Economist magazine, we feature that because it raises this puzzle, which is counterintuitive. In some ways, it writes, it is surprising to see the revival of narco-terrorism. COVID-19 hit Latin America hard. Many people expected it to hurt drug traffickers. They were already under pressure thanks to the legalization of marijuana and the incarceration of various kingpins in the United States. It goes on to report, instead, the pandemic has confirmed that the drug business is resilient and adaptable. Is that a surprise, Joseph? I noted that during 2020, we learned from Senator Cabal, and in talking about Colombia, that the cocoa crop was bigger than ever and was flowing from the Andean chain and from Colombia again, as if it had been rediscovered from the 90s.
Yeah, John, so here's, I think, the upshot of this. When we're talking about narco trafficking and we're talking about any kind of these illicit activities, they're fundamentally derived from the same economic incentives that the formal economy is derived. So what happens in any society, and this is especially true in Latin America, but really in any society, if the incentives on the ground, if the incentives are aligned more towards predation than they are towards production, then these type of illicit activities are going to thrive. What do I mean by that? That means if you have too much bureaucracy, if you have too much red tape, if it's too hard to start a business, too hard to maintain a business, the taxes are too high, people have a hard time getting by, then they're going to move to this illicit underworld. That's a natural phenomenon. In Latin America, informal economies are just as big as formal economies. And at the extent of that, you have illicit economies. And so this is the big concern, John. The big concern is that in Latin America, the formal economies, the trade economies, are starting to be compressed. They're recovering now after that pandemic, but they took a huge hit, probably the biggest hit in the world in terms of economic decline. But the economic decline happened on the formal level. In the informal, and more specifically in the illicit level, those economies are starting to thrive. And once that becomes so large that it surpasses the formal economy, you're now dealing with the problem and the potential of having multiple narco states. And it just mean not just narco states, they'd be mafia states because they have all kinds of different types of organized crime, not just narco trafficking.
Is there any indication that the large bad acting states, we've spoken of Russia, we can mention China, we certainly know about Iran, are involved in narco-trafficking in any formal way? Is there a diversion of profits into the hands of authorities that can be linked to Moscow, Beijing, or Tehran?
Well, in the case of Iran, you have it a bit closer with the sense that Hezbollah has been very much involved with all kinds of different types of transnational criminal activity, most notably trade-based money laundering, but they're also involved in facilitating cocaine trafficking and arms smuggling. For Russia and China, it's been mostly the mafias within their countries. Now, that would go to the extent that how much their mafias are connected to their governments. I'm not an expert on that, so I won't really speak on that. But what I do know is that the Russian mafias are very present in Latin America, and Chinese mafias are becoming increasingly present in the region as well. One of the activities I think that's very underreported, but it's a very top priority for our defense officials, is the underregulated fishing, the underregulated fishing that's happening along the Pacific coastline in Latin America. The Insight Crime, which is a portal that publishes on transnational criminal organizations, did a great, excellent report at the end of the year where they talked about this illegal fishing that's happening along the coastline, and it goes in pretty much every country, Chile, Peru, Mexico, and the entire Pacific coast of Latin America, and where you're having these Chinese fishing vessels
right.
that are engaged in illegal fishing all throughout the waters.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. We turn to the two big elections just to flag them coming up in 2022. This is New World Report. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.